I've been told I'm a little bit on the loud side, so if you got to back off on this, I won't be offended. I appreciate I hear it often. And I talk with my hands, too, so you might get some of this. So that's the Northeastern in me. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to speak. I know Sid's been gone a little ways and a little time away from the pulpit, and I know he's really chomping at the bit to get back in the Word and pour into everybody here. So I appreciate the time he's offered me tonight. I really just wanted to share some things that have been going on in my life and Jessica's life, and just kind of share that with everybody as an illustration how good and faithful our God is that we serve. And I'll be honest with you, I've never really felt qualified to get up here and speak in front of you. Public speaking is really not a fear of mine, but I've never felt qualified in this setting to speak. And I've started to see some of that shift in my life, and you know, it's funny how God uses us over time, and I'm starting to get a little age on me, so I could see that in my life. And I look back, and I don't know, 20 years ago, I was sitting right there where Kathy and Doyle were sitting with Mark Wilburn in high school, lost as can be. I was drinking and chasing women and just not acting right, and I was in church service here, and somebody started speaking in tongues, and man, I couldn't find that door fast enough. I couldn't. Now, I lived through a lot of pain between the time I permanently was a fixture in here and that day, but God used that same vessel, Mark Wilburn and Nick White, at a going-away party at Martha Wilburn's house, I don't know, about 10, 12 years later, and it was from that point on. We've always been to church here, always, since we moved back to Bremen. So you never really know until you get some distance on your life what God's going to do in your life, and how you can impact others and how, you know, people impact you. And this is kind of just a little bit into that. So here recently, about 2 years ago, a good friend of mine he's been going through some hard times, him and his wife. He's got a real bad drinking problem, and my wife and I, Jessica and I, were praying for his family and really to deliver him through that time and to kind of mend his family. And through that, we weren't seeing a whole lot of that, but what we did see is his oldest son reached out to me, and I started pouring into him and sharing some stuff about my life and some stuff that I've been through with him. To help him out through that situation. You know, difficult times, you know, sometimes we gotta rely on people that have been through some of those same fires, and I think God used me in part of that because it's some of the stuff that I had been through as a young man, as a child. And I've been able to see him grow from that and respond from that, and him continue to reach out for me for advice and just fellowship. And so soon after that, Jessica had a student that started coming around the house that was dealing with some hard things in her life as well, and he started to use me in that capacity. She was really shy, and I'm a very boisterous guy, type A personality, you know, I could run everybody out of this room. But she allowed me to start pouring into her, and I was just ministering to her from an experience standpoint and loving on her. And, you know, we started seeing some breakthrough in that, started seeing, you know, her confidence grow and her deal with some of the issues that she was dealing with. And God was just really, really speaking to me, just to showing me you know, how useful I could be. You know, see, like I said before, I'll circle back, you know, I've never felt qualified to do this. You know, in my personal life and in my career, I'm a walk-the-walk kind of guy. I am not a talk-the-talk kind of guy. So I've always struggled in my Christianity because I've felt like I was a talk-the-talk kind of guy and not walking the walk. But now, recently, the last 2 years, I'm starting to walk the walk. I'm starting to walk the walk, and I'm trying to make a difference. So God, being how He is, You know, he'll challenge you. He will put an obstacle in front of you to see how you will handle it. And that's not the end game. The end game is to give you something more difficult down the line to see how you handle that. And that's what happened to us. So we started getting some clarity with the second young lady I was telling you about. And then one day, Jessica calls me, says we kind of got a situation, and I've got somebody that needs needs a place to stay. A young lady that she didn't come from much. I don't want to go too much into detail because that's her testimony, not mine. But anyway, over a course of a couple weeks, Jessica and I began to pray about it. God, what do you want us to do? Show us how we can help this young lady. Now we've got, if you don't know us, we've got two young girls of our own. So me as a father, I'm in protection mode. You know, I don't want to introduce anything into my home that may jeopardize or risk our family environment. But, you know, we leaned greatly on prayer to guide us and do the right thing. And she was at the women's shelter. This young lady she's just 18 years old, and just the story alone would just break your heart. It broke my heart. Jessica and I had prayed about it and invited this young lady to come live with us and to get on her feet and try to help her, you know, figure out what's the next stage in life. She just graduated high school in May. So we jumped off into that and started to pour in her and love her and try to show her how we lived. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say the first time that we brought her to church, Nick White preached. And he told a story about a couple that he lived with when he was a teenager. And I looked over at that young lady where she was sitting next to us, and her eyes lit up. And because of you guys and the example you guys set forth for us as a church, and Lisa and the buddies, I mean, y'all's example is what's pushed this forward. That's the echo in eternity that we always talk about. That stone you throw in, it makes those ripples. I'm a ripple from you two. Jessica and I are a ripple from you two. Lisa is a ripple from you two. And I want to say, I appreciate that. I know it's hard. It is hard. I want you guys to know it does not go unrecognized. I love you guys very, very much. So based on their example, we brought this young lady in our home and started pouring into her. You know, now we're walk-to-walk Christians. At least I felt like I am. My wife has always been a walk-to-walk Christian, but me personally, I'm feeling like I'm a walk-to-walk Christian. Maya, I'm talking about Maya if y'all don't know. We started praying and we're trying to figure out Maya's life and trying to understand, get her set up. We're going to college. We're going to the military. How are we going to get her? She's got to get a license. She doesn't have a license. We've got to, you know, figure out insurance. And, you know, this is real life stuff. Stuff that, you know, most families deal with much, much sooner. We got her license. We were fortunate enough. The school was very, very kind and donated the services of the driving school so she can learn how to drive and take her test and all that good stuff. And so she got her license, was it last Friday. So, now me and Jessica are starting to stress a little bit. How are we going to figure out getting this girl a car? You know, from the outside we might seem like we got it all together, but I run a very tight financial household. We just, Jessica will tell you, we just built a house, so we've got some stuff that we're still dealing with on that. So we're trying to figure out how are we going to get this girl a car and, keep progressing in what we've started here. And Jessica reached out to a place where all Christians congregate, Facebook, and asked the question. And little did we know is there was a walk-the-walk Christian in this town that had been praying to figure out what she should do with her vehicle. And yesterday we picked up Maya's new car. Maya, come get your keys, girl. You're not going to just sit back there. You got to come get them. All right, I'll bring them to her. So I don't do that to show off and say, look at us and all the good things that we're doing, because if we don't do it on our own, Jessica and I could not do this on my own. We've prayed countless hours and sometimes we're lost. You know, Jessica and I, we're praying and doing things that we know we're supposed to do, but sometimes we feel like we fail. You know, sometimes she hurts, and sometimes our kids hurt on account of that. But the Word says that which much is given, much is required. So I kind of say this to challenge everybody in here, because sometimes I know I need the challenge sitting back there on a Sunday. Are we going to talk the talk, or are we going to walk the walk? I appreciate it, and I love all you guys. And thank you again, Sid. I love you and Lori.
I always feel like a girl when I hug Paul, because I have to get up on my tiptoes. We sing a lot about, and talk a lot about, I want to change the world. And we always think on what we feel like is a grand scale, something big and huge and across the globe. But that's as real as it gets. That's as real as it gets. And I'm not going to get into a deep Bible study tonight, guys. I'm just going to kind of release a question that the Lord asked me, and just want to provoke a little thought, and then we'll just pray and do communion and, you know, fellowship a little bit at the end. But I was out at Sturgis working the motorcycle rally this week, and, you know, I mean, it is what it is. It's a great opportunity for us and for our company and all of that stuff. And, you know, about 2/3 of the way through the rally, and you see so much at places like that. You've got 400,000 or 500,000 people that show up, and all walks of life, all economic, you know, backgrounds. You've got people that are, you know, absolutely, as a businessman, I try to connect with the people and get them to connect with our company. Because when they connect with our company, then we've got them for life. And so I really try to talk and just kind of get people's story and, you know, and so they can connect with us. And so I do that. And you hear all types of things, you know, and you see people that are, super successful in the business world and they could do whatever they wanted to do. You see some people that don't know where their next thing's coming from, but by golly, they got a, you know, 1998, you know, Ultra Classic, and they're sporting that around. And then you got the wannabes that, you can tell have never been popular in life, but they got a Harley so they can be cool. And I mean, just the whole spectrum. And I'm sitting back and I watch all of this, and you're just getting a snapshot of the world out there. And the Lord asked me, he said, what captures your gaze? Because in this you get the whole, everything that there is in life, you see pictures of it with that many people. And I don't care what setting you're in. You know, you could be at Chip and Joanna Gaines' place at Magnolia and you get a similar, you know, snapshot. But the Lord asked me, he says, what captures your gaze? Because you've got money, you've got sexuality, You've got image. You've got rebel freedom. You've got all of these things. And he asked me, he said, the thing that captures your gaze will ultimately capture your heart. Graham, the thing that captures your gaze will ultimately capture your heart. And so I began to ponder that and meditate on that and think on that and ask myself hard questions. You know, what are the things that capture my gaze? And the Lord really wanted me to throw that out there to you guys tonight and for us to ask the thing. You know, the Word says, whatsoever things are right and just and lovely and pure, to think and to dwell on these things. You know, we've got so much that is competing for your focus. There's so much out there competing for your faith. There's so much out there competing for your passion. There's so much out there competing for your time and your resources and all of these things. There's so many things. And the narcissistic society that we live in would tell somebody like Eric and Jessica, if you bring in this young lady and then it starts throwing in all the negative things, not to mention the financial. You know, man, think about how much money you'd save if you didn't do something like that. You know, extra time, and who needs the stress and the worry and all of these things. And, you know, I began to look in the Bible at the different people that failed because the wrong things captured their gaze. Obviously, I thought about King David and Bathsheba, you know, and the story of when he was supposed to be out at war. And he was spending his evenings up on a rooftop. I don't think it was just one time, but on his evening up on the rooftop looking at Bathsheba, and lust began to stir in his heart and desire, and he acted on that. You know, we look at Samson and the things that caught his gaze and carried him away from what God's purpose and intention was for his life. And we can go over and over and over. And I even thought about Peter. When he got caught up a little bit in the New Testament, this is a guy that his shadow was healing the sick and that he was raising the dead, but he got worried about how the Jewish believers were going to perceive him as an apostle if he was really, really open with the Gentile and the whole Gentile movement and acceptance and all of that. And so he started drifting over into legalism. And his fear of how the people would perceive him caused his gaze to get skewed. So much the fact that the Apostle Paul had to rebuke him. He said, I rebuffed him. Openly, he did. And, man, how, I'm trying to pick a good word here. How, you know, studly is that, that you come in and you're going to rebuke Peter? Because he gets, his gaze got off the mark a little bit. And so we could talk about all these negative things, but the thing that I really want to talk about, for just a brief moment, is something that's very positive. And I want to talk about the first century church. I could go to the book of Acts in 2, 3, 4, 5, and look at all of that. And their gaze got fixed on something that was beautiful. And it was not just Christ, but it was family. It was what God was doing in other people's lives. They caught a glimpse and saw God genuinely stirring in a group of people. You know, Peter got up at Pentecost and preached and said 3,000 men got saved that day. And it said that the church was added to daily. Their households were added to daily as far as the body of Christ. And they had all things common. And one believer would give another believer a card to bless a young lady. You know, that gift didn't honor Eric and Jessica for what they're doing, but all good things come from the Lord, Maya. This is all God. They're just vessels in His hand. And I honor them for what they're doing in your life. It's awesome. You know, we've done it on a few occasions, on three different occasions in our lives that we've allowed people to come in and live with us. And that's one reason God has blessed us for opening our lives up like that. But at the end of the day, God is the one that stirred on Jessica's heart, and God is the one that stirred on Eric's heart for them to say, yeah, man, come on in and let's invest in somebody's life. And so, you know, I want us to focus on for just a second on the first century church and the fact that their gaze got fixed on something that was awesome. Their gaze got fixed on something that was beautiful. Their gaze got fixed on something that was, it was a moment that they were seeing God truly, heaven touch earth. And that's what I want us to look at and see right now as a body. At Victory Fellowship right now, just a snapshot of right now. And the beauty of seeing young men and young women feeling empowered enough by the Holy Spirit that I'm hearing God's voice and He wants me to release this. Whether it's, you know, Ashley or Brandon or Tiff or some of the regulars, you know, that, I mean, James hadn't formally announced his call to preach. I mean, I guess it's, you know, it's a moot point now, brother. You know, you done cracked the egg now. And yet he fills this pulpit so wonderfully. And to sit back and see God grow up a young man like this, you know, and see God just stir in people's lives, that there's such a spirit of adoption that I see moving in people in this house. And it's not just necessary that you're going to come and live in my house, but let me pour into you. That's what fathering is investing and pouring in. You know, I've always said that I've invested more heavily in my family than I have anything else in life. In my marriage first, and then in my children and grandchildren after that. And I think God has honored that, because we're not rich in other areas, but we are the wealthiest people on the planet in those areas. And it's because the right thing caught my gaze. All right? There were a lot of things that could have caught my at the bike rally. I mean, you know, it is what it is. You got a lot of loose people out there if you can read between the lines. But I always get to come home to her, and she has captured my gaze. She did it 35 years ago, 38 years ago. She captured my gaze. He captured my gaze 32 years ago. The beauty of who he was, and I fell in love with him, Paul. And that's the whole catalyst of this journey, is the thing that captured my gaze ultimately captured my heart. And I want us to not view that what captures our gaze from the negative connotation, but I want it to from the positive connotation. I want us to look and see what God, all of these pockets of what God's doing, just in this house. Forget everywhere else, but just in this house. That we just see the goodness of God stirring in people's lives, stirring in our children. You know, that I just heard a report yesterday or day before, you know, that Judah got saved. And he came, Nick's old son. Does everybody in the church know that? I didn't know that because we've been out of pocket, you know. And so we come in and I'm like, yes, that's so awesome. And it wasn't a thing where Nick's like, all right, son, it's time and all this. Judah approached him. With real questions and a real stirring. The Word says that no man comes to the Lord unless the Holy Spirit draws him. You know, you didn't have to talk Isabel into saying, man, now's the time. You know, I've got grandchildren that are getting baptized with Isabel. I'm so, you know, Poppy's baptizing some folks. It ain't going to be Pastor Sid in 2 weeks. It's going to be Poppy. You know, and I look and I see God, that those are the things that Kathy, that are capturing my gaze right now, is the goodness of God and the way He is stirring in this. And if we will see these things, rightly see these things, rightly see these opportunities. I was meditating on this last night and just reading, just kind of randomly reading, and I was over in when the Apostle Paul and these guys were coming, and they were at Philippi, and Lydia got saved. And I had some notes in there about how she recognized the significance of the moment. And when she recognized the significance of the moment, she asked Christ to come into her life. She recognized that these anointed men of God were bringing the good news of the gospel to her. And she was hearing this good news. And with joy, she received this good news. And her whole life got transformed. But it was because she recognized the significance of the moment. The significant moment captured her. How many of y'all been blinded in life and you go through and you don't see things that other people see? I mean, we all do in different seasons. I see things now that I used to not see. It frustrates me and Lori just a little bit, and they're getting better as they get older. But Leah and Errol, me and Lori, I mean, we're these folks that, like, everything is, you know, like, we're seeing the beauty and all this, you know, this sunset or this scenery and all of that. You know, me and Lori want to just kind of stop and just soak it all in and all this. And girls like, yeah, that's nice, you know, and keep going. I think it's an age thing with that. But I know in my life there have been so many things that I didn't appropriately let it capture my gaze. And I really want to be and pray. This is how I want to finish tonight. Is I want to pray a sensitivity for every one of you guys in here, that your gaze would be captured by the right things. That your gaze would be captured by things that are right and just and beautiful and pure and holy and positive. And not the negative. I get so sick of, and I don't know how it's, I don't guess Cindy did it, maybe Joel did when he set up my computer, but I guess I need to get on Fox, but MSN comes up on mine, and that's the first thing, and I know that's the most liberal thing out there, and maybe it's God just showing me that, you know, that I just like, you know, regurgitate when you see all this stuff. But everything that comes up immediately is so negative. And maybe it's a good thing, because God said, that's not what I want to capture your gaze. Usually I'm there for like 2 seconds before I go to ESPN, and we know it's all positive. So, you know, you got to get to the good stuff, right? But I want us not to focus on all of the negative. You know, I was out in South Dakota for 2 weeks, and I did not, you know what I heard from 90% of the people that I talked to? How good the economy was, and how blessed their business was. I cannot tell you the number of people, business owners, that I talked to, and they said, man, I could do twice as much if I could just find more good employees. One guy in construction, he said, I could run 3 more crews. He does work for Walmart. He said, they're about to kill me. They're working me to death. You know, but everything was positive, because that was what was the reality of capturing these people's gaze. And so I want us to come in and I want us to be sensitive to let the things of God and what God's doing be the thing that captures our gaze. Because I promise you, when we let it capture our gaze rightly and for a long enough time, you know what it will do? It will ultimately capture our heart. And that's what He wants to do. Man, He don't want to capture your mind. If He captures your heart, He's got everything. But if He can't capture your gaze, He can't capture your heart. So I want you to see God for who He is, and I want you to see the moments. And you know, some of you guys are some new faces. I hadn't seen you guys. You know, so welcome to Victory Fellowship. You know, if this is the first time I've seen you guys, welcome to Victory Fellowship. But the reality is, God is real and God is amazing. And you know, we can wade through all the stuff. I make handlebars for a living. I mean, that's what I do, man. I've been making, you know, those are real calluses. You know, I make handlebars every day. They go on Harley Davidsons. That's what James does, you know. Randy's a postmaster, you know. Keith works at the safe house in Atlanta, you know, and he solves problems and fixes equipment and does different things like that, you know. We've got school teachers in here. We've got coaches in here. You know, we've got people from all different segments of life. But what is really real is that we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. And we've got this real relationship with Him, you know. And He wants to flow through us. If you'd talked to Eric 2 years ago, he was an entrepreneur business owner, and he refilled ink cartridges. Now he's a job superintendent for project manager. I'm sorry, not a super. Project manager. He's a project manager. He's starting a new career Monday. He just shifted jobs. That's a cool story in that too. God bless him amazingly in that. And he left a good company. But, you know, and he talked to me and Lori about it. He said, man, y'all be praying about this, and this is the opportunity I have, and all of that stuff. You know, and so we prayed with him about this. And I'm like, man, go to Florida, you know, and your family, and just, you know, seek the Lord, and let peace be your litmus test. But you know the advice that I told him, though? I said, you're wired like me, and I said, you need to go to where you feel like the culture is most suited to who you are and what your desire is for a... You know why I'm in Victory Fellowship? Not because y'all got it going on doctrinally and this and this and this. This is the kind of culture I want to be in. That's why I'm a Bethel person. Because that's the culture I want to be in. That's why I'm a Damon Thompson person. Because that's the kind of culture I want to be in. Because it captured my gaze and then it captured my heart. And I want to be around a group of people that want to chase God above everything else. What we do on the side, big deal. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we do, you know, to make a living and pay for stuff. But what matters is that God is flowing through us and changing culture. And so let those things capture your gaze, okay? Come on, I know you want to share. I felt like you were going to share some stuff.
No, when we were out there, we went to this cool thing called Under the Canvas. And it's my kind of camping because it has a king-size bed, a shower, and toilet inside the tent. You know, it was really cool. I was camping, but I wasn't camping. And it was under the glamping. We were glamping. That was glamping. That's as far as I can go with that. But we took all the grandkids. Me and the girls took 5 grandkids, all 7 and under. And we're out. There's nothing except the tents and stuff. And we're sitting there, and they have meals there. So we're eating with all these other people that are there. And I got to looking around. And our kids are the only ones climbing on the rocks and going everywhere and exploring. Even Eden and Kennedy, they're gone. They're playing. And this lady, they're all sitting around watching our kids play. And they have kids with them. But they're like, don't go climb on that rock. I'm like, why? You're at Mount Rushmore. Let's climb. Let's explore. And this lady came up to Errol and she goes, are your kids from the countryside? Errol said, you mean the United States? And she's like, no, like city or country. Errol goes, yeah, we're country kids. And she said, we can tell because our kids are just, they don't know what to do. They're outside and they literally did not know what to do. They were not experiencing it. They were seeing it, but they were not experiencing it. And God said, that's a picture of our church today. So many people, but what you saw tonight, we're experiencing it. That's true Christianity, what you saw and heard tonight. That's living it. And you will never be fully alive until you experience it and live it. He said, there's so many people that are in churches, and they sit there, and they see my beauty, and they see my wonder, and they feel my love. But they leave and they never take me with them. They never experience me on the experience on that personal level. They're afraid to get out there. Yeah, you know how many band-aids we come home with? Kennedy's at the airport, both knees bandaged up. Caroline's here to there. Zealand's, if he bleeds, he's dying. It's the end of the world. You know, we got to patch him up. They're gonna fall. You're gonna do things, but you're gonna experience so much more if you just get out there and say, God, I want to be fully alive. Whatever it means in my life, whatever it means, I want to experience you forever. I want, with all the scrapes, I would rather be here with 20 band-aids than to sit there and not have anything and not experience anything. They didn't see the waterfalls. They didn't see the chipmunks. They didn't see the beautiful, they saw the sunset from a distance, but we were out in it, you know, doing it. And when God said that, I thought, that hurt my heart that so many people, week in and week out, are in churches, and they're just like, they want more, but they're scared. You know, they want it so bad, but they're afraid of what their peers will think. You know what? When you do things like that, you're going to have people say, you're crazy. But they're living a dull, boring life. And they'll tell you, I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied in life. All these fluff things, all these material things, all these things don't bring me the satisfaction. But when you live on the edge, you know that's true. True satisfaction. True contentment in your heart. That's the only place we're going to find it. Is in experiencing Him. And not be afraid. I want you to know this is a safe zone. In here, this is a safe zone for you to experience all God has for you. Everything He has for you. We'll put the band-aids on. You put the band-aids on me and we'll pick it up and go on. Right? That's just the way life is. But I want a few band-aids. I want to experience everything God has for me. And in that, we are going to experience some hurt, but it's going to be so, the experience is so good. It's so good. that night, those five little grandbabies, they were so tired, we didn't have to read 20 stories. They laid down on that pallet and they went right to sleep. And I could hear all the other little kids, you know, around. They didn't know what to do. I did have one time, this is how I think, this one little kid, we walked by his tent and his little foot was sticking out. I so wanted to grab it. Oh, I wanted to grab that little kid. Like, this is the bear getting you. I didn't let him go home and have a story to tell. Errol wouldn't let me. She said they might kick us out of the place. So she wouldn't let me do it. The whole point of that was just to say, just don't be afraid to experience him. If you really want to live, if you really want that high, that thing that we're all searching for, that true high in our spirits, we have to soar, we have to reach for him, we have to go for it and say, God, what do you have for me? What do you want for my household? I don't want to be afraid to climb the rocks and look over the edge. Because he said he'll uphold us in everything. If we're looking for him, he's going to be there and he'll hold us up. He'll bolster us. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet. In the book of Exodus, there's a story about God coming down and meeting the host of Israel on Mount Sinai. And it says he came down in a very thick cloud so that the people could not casually look at him. And he told Moses and Aaron, he said, it's unlawful for the people to even touch the mountain. Because they were under law. They weren't clean. Eric, they weren't qualified to do this. None of us are under law. And so he comes in and God's talking to Moses. And he's like, you and Aaron can come up here and meet with me. And then go down and tell the people. But he said, it's unlawful for them to even try to gaze in and get a glimpse of me. That's under law. But when Jesus hung on the cross, the word says that veil was rent in two from top to bottom. And that was declaring that we have access. And so in Exodus, Eric, even though they told him, they said, go home, sanctify yourselves for 3 days. God said, I'm going to meet with you in 3 days. He said, guys, don't chase your wives. You know, the Bible's full of good stuff like that. He said, guys, don't chase your wives. Everybody wash your clothes, sanctify yourself, and God's going to meet with us in 3 days. But even after they sanctified themselves, they still could not touch the mountain or look on God. So under law, you couldn't do that. Under law, I can't do that. Under law, James can't do that. Even as sweet as his kids are, under law, his kids couldn't stand on this stage and lead us in worship. But Jesus came and he shed his blood. And he died for us. And he conquered death. He ascended to the Father, and he makes intercession for us, and he gives us freely access. And the Word says for us to boldly approach the throne of grace. And so now we've got access to not only to gaze, but to climb the mountain. Not only to gaze, but to climb the mountain. We can go in the thick fog, the thick smoke where God abides. Into that Holy of Holies. And we can approach Him. And we say, God, be real to me in my life and be real in my family's life. Be real in my sons and daughters and my spiritual sons and daughters. Show me your glory. I want to be like Moses. I want to take it just one step further and say, okay, I've got this opportunity. Now, God, you're in a good mood and you're saying yes. So let me see your glory too while we're at it. You know, like a kid. want a little bit more. Where you guys are right now, y'all are in a good place right now. But you know what that is though? That good place you're in right now, all that is a new baseline for you. You know, it's like climbing Mount Everest. We come in and we establish all these base camps. And in those base camps, we get to where we're acclimated to the higher places. And so we come in and we're like, we're here and this is awesome. And God says, yeah, now let's let this be our new baseline and now let's go for more. I'm kind of fearful and I'm kind of not, because my little grandkids, man, they climb rocks like crazy and they'll climb some stuff where you're like, ooh, you know, as a grandparent, I'm like, but I know that's just preparatory for what is yet to come. And so God wants us to press in for more, experience more, be bold and daring and courageous, and say, God, man, I just want to go for it. I want to go for it with you, and I want to go for it with people. I want to go for it with people. And the thing is when you co-labor with people, you're going to get hurt some, and you're going to get disappointed some, and you're going to get disillusioned some. But it doesn't change the glory of it. Just gaze on God doing a work in imperfect people. Gaze on God doing a work in imperfect people. So tonight, I just want to release you guys to a... Man, I just want to pray a spirit that you'll properly see things. That the right things will catch your eye. The right things will catch your eye. From a distance. From a distance. When I hunt out west, it's different than here. You're not sitting in a tree and waiting for something to walk by. You're seeing things 2 miles away, 3 miles away. And things catch your eye because you train your eye to see certain things. And then once it catches your eye, then you can focus in. What I want to pray over you guys, y'all remember Moses was a shepherd? And he was out doing his thing, and God appeared to him in a burning bush. You know what caught his eye? Something, a burning bush from afar. And I just want to pray that there's something would start triggering in you guys, that y'all would start seeing the unique opportunities and the unique moments and the unique God kisses and the unique what God is doing right now. Not just in your life. Don't be narcissistic. Celebrate what God's doing in other people's lives. Celebrate what God's doing. It thrills me more to see somebody say, man, I've got a word I need to release, than me come up and say, man, I got a powerful sermon I'm going to preach. Eric told me today, he called me, he texted me this week, but he talked to him today, and he was like, hey man, you know, just want to kind of let you know about tonight and everything. And I said, well, you know what? I said, let's don't do it on the back end, let's do it on the front end, just see what God does. Because I'm going to be here another 30 years, so I got plenty of time to preach all a bunch of sermons. The Lord didn't give me that promise earlier this year. So, I just want to pray that we would have this ability to see things from a distance, recognize them as good, and then begin to zone in and pursue those things. That we see it in others. We see Him in others and what He's doing in their life, what He's doing in culture out there, in society out there, and let that capture our gaze. And then when I see the beauty of Him working in Eric and Jessica's life, or the beauty of Him working in Graham's life, when I begin to see that and let that capture my gaze, then that captures my heart. And then we get like the first century church. Then we start celebrating each other. Then we start celebrating each other. You guys would do well to recognize that at the Blake House. When you see God doing something in one of these guys' lives and you see Him stirring and moving and all that, celebrate that. I mean, he might not be somebody you would normally hang out with, and you may think, this guy's, you know, he's kind of weird and all this. But when you see God turning some things around in his life, celebrate that. And when you learn to celebrate that, then God will begin to capture your heart. And that's ultimately what he desires. So, man, I just pray that over y'all. Father, I just lift up every person that's in here. Lord, I thank you for them. I pray that they're gaze would be captured by you. Not all the things that are competing in the world. They wouldn't even recognize those things, but they would see the beautiful things of you. They would see you stirring in each other's lives. They would see you stirring in children. They would see you stirring in families. They would see you stirring and moving in the midst of tragedies. And Father, I pray that we would be a people that as our gaze begins to be captured by you, that you would capture our hearts also. And let us be a people, Lord, that walk this thing out. The Word says that they'll know that we're your disciples by the love that we have for one another. As we celebrate each other. As we help propel each other, undergird each other. And I pray that we would be a family here. God, that just chases after kingdom life, that chases after you. Lord, I just release, Lord, just a freedom and a permission into the lives of everybody in here. Everybody in here to go for more of you. Lord, it's in Jesus' name I ask these things, and in His name I declare these things over people's lives. I just say that nothing can stand against what you're doing in these people's lives. Amen and amen. Man, I want to share one cool, just a cool little thing that I heard this week. Have y'all been keeping up with all the fires in California? You know, the fires around Redding and all of that, they've been all around Redding and just a ton of death. I talked to a lot of people from California in the last 2 weeks and everything. And Errol was telling me in an interview that she had seen on, I don't know, some type of social media. And it was a family from Redding, and they were not part of the Bethel community. They were not part of the Bethel community at all. But their home had been destroyed and everything. And they were blown away because Bethel had stepped in and did not know that they did not know them. They were not a part of their family that, but they gave them $1,000 to help get clothes for their children and school supplies and stuff like that. Just you know, $1,000 when you lose everything's not a lot, but it's huge. And it blew these people's minds how the arms of Christ had reached out to them. And it didn't matter if it was Bethel or Weaverville or the Catholic church down the street or wherever, but it was the arms of Christ being released into them. And I say, let's be that people. Let's be that people. Let's love the world into the kingdom. Amen. Let's just come down and Cindy, if you'll just start a little worship. Man, y'all, I hadn't took communion in 2 weeks. I ain't gonna lie. I'm ready to take communion tonight. Tiff, you got something you want to share? Turn that down. Tiff's going to share. Amen. Come on, girl.
I just feel real led to pray over you, Maya. If you don't mind coming down, and Jessica and Eric coming down too, I just want to pray over you. And we are proud of you guys. As a church, we support you and we admire you. And you will ripple for many of us and those that are even after me. Maya, for you, I've just been praying for you. And I just want to say that I don't know what your family was like, but we are your family now. And I don't know if you have siblings, I don't know if you have cousins, but if you just look, we are your family. And these people are your family. And whatever you've been through before, that you are being restored now. And not to let that hold you back. That just because you might have been through some things that are more difficult or you know, not to take away from that, but that doesn't have to define you. That's not who you are. That is what you have been through. And so I just want to pray over you. And if y'all come down and just show her what family feels like. It's okay to cry. It's okay. Eric, it's okay to cry for you. Father, we invite you here now. And I pray that Maya would have a love encounter with you. Lord, that she will leave different than she came in. And then I know that the past few months have been really good for her. But Father, I pray that this is just propelling her into her destiny, Lord. That everything she has been through, it is for this moment that she was created. I pray your hand to be in Jessica and Eric's life, and that you would guide them and direct them. Every decision they have to make, that you would be the one that would give them the answer, Father. It wouldn't be something that they have to worry or just guess, is this right, Lord? They have access into your kingdom, Lord. They have access into the answers. And I pray that you will give that to them. I pray for Maya to have the ability to receive, Father, that she may have been through situations that has closed off her receiving. And I put an end to that now. That she would have open arms for what you have to pour into her, what we have to pour into her, Lord. It wouldn't be hard to receive love. It wouldn't be hard to receive a car. It wouldn't be hard to receive joy that maybe things have caused depression or just a built up of hurt, Lord, that would just be released, and that she would have such a welcoming of joy into her life now. And I pray that this spirit that we talk about, this love that we talk about, Lord, that it would be so real in her life that she could just touch it, Lord. It would be so tangible in her life. It's not something that we talk about and she doesn't have access to, but that Maya would begin to feel this kingdom poured out over her, that she would be standing in it, Lord, that she would be hidden behind you, and that she would feel what that feels like. Feel her love tank. Lord, where she has been empty from life and from the situations that she has gone through, Lord, that has emptied her out. And I pray that you would just fill her. Fill her love tank. Fill her joy tank, her peace tank, Father. Everything in her that says, you have no right to feel these things, Lord, I take that away, Lord. I cast that out, and I just pour into her the love that you have given into me. And, Lord, the river that you've called us to live in, Lord, we give that to Maya, Lord. Where you've given us peace, we're going to give that to Maya. Where you've given us hope and joy, we're going to give that over to Maya because she is part of our family. Father, bless her in every way. And I just pray for her future, Lord, that she would begin to see where her destiny, who she's meant to be, who she is as a woman, who she is supposed to be with a career, with a spouse, as a female in this community, Father, who is she supposed to be? I pray that she would begin to see that and figure that out, figure out her path, and that it wouldn't be something that she was just trying to figure out on her own or just going by what's the easiest. Help her to know what to do. And have the faith that she can accomplish it, Lord. There is nothing that she cannot accomplish. And Lord, the last thing that was on my heart was just the spirit of adoption. Lord, she is not an orphan. There are no orphans in this room, Lord, because you have called each one of us. And anyone that feels that they are an orphan, that they would receive your spirit of adoption tonight. Father, let Maya step into that. Maybe for the first time, maybe she's revisiting it, Lord, but you know. Help her to feel the spirit of adoption that she has. And that when fear, that is such a liar, tries to creep into her, that you would just let us remind her, Lord, that you would remind her, Holy Spirit, remind her that she has been welcomed into your kingdom and into your family, and that she is no longer an orphan. Lord, we love Maya and we love this family that has just been so obedient. Thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen.